Hello, welcome to the 12th Manx Footy Pod of the season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by, no one. More about that in a minute. Right, Dave, just me and you this week.
I know, we thought we'd keep it in-house for once, I think.
It's my fault, you know, you leave me with the extensive responsibility of booking a guest and I've managed to cock it up and not get anyone.
Well, at least you've got the next 2 weeks booked up.
Well, I think that is the plan. I'm touching the whatever this wood is in front of me
rich
now.
Rich mahogany.
Rich mahogany. I didn't know you were such a wood expert, but there you go.
I'm a Will Ferrell fan.
All right, so I'm touching that. Well, we have got next 2 weeks lined up. More about that a bit later on. There's a bit of a special podcast next week, we think.
But there is. All to be revealed.
Yes, I don't want you to switch off immediately now. So we'll string this out a little bit longer and reveal it a bit later on. So just me and you, we're going to talk about the weekend's football as always. Big game, of course, tomorrow night at the Bowl.
Absolutely, I'll be there.
Yes, you'll be there. You're coming out of international retirement for this one, aren't you?
No, I haven't covered an international match since, a month?
Yeah.
I did the under-18s, but before that it was Gotland.
There you go. When was the last time you actually covered a match though, because you've had a few weeks off?
I've had a few weeks off. It's been a bit of a sojourn for me.
Away
in London and leaving you with the responsibility.
So yes, we're talking about the Isle of Man FA side. They're back in action in the Interleague Cup up against the Liverpool County Premier League. Of course, we were both there back in 2000. I said 2011 in the paper, heinously wrong. 2012, February 2012.
You managed to dig out the old paper, the old
page. Yeah, unbelievable was the headline we used. Of course, these last time these two met, the Isle of Man found themselves 3-0 down at half-time, didn't they?
They did.
We were almost ready to go at that point, weren't we?
I know, you were packing away your Julian Ringham shirt.
It was at half-mast. But it, of course, we came back.
What a match. Just
In fantastic fashion. Finished 5-3, didn't it?
Yeah, we got the fourth goal, I think, in the round about the 90th minute, and then the fifth goal in extra in injury time. But what a game.
Yeah, it had everything. Lightning, hail, snow. There was a mini pitch invasion at one point by some overexcited youths.
Probably led by Hattie.
I think it was it pre-Hattie recorded days?
I think it probably was, but if it is, if he did that now, it'd go viral.
Yeah, it would be up there with his Johnny Hogg goal that never was, Tim Collister's goal that never was from the Luke Combi.
Yeah, gonna refer to that later, but yes.
Yeah. So that was that's these two are meeting again. I think it's the third time these two have met in the competition. The Isle of Man are currently 2-1 up. But yes, we should be favourites for this one, shouldn't we?
I think so, and you know, it's an interesting squad that Paul Jones has opted for this time round. He's obviously been experimenting with his squad in recent weeks.
I think he's obviously had to make a couple of changes because people are away and such like. I know Jack McVay is off island this week.
Yep.
So he's come out of the reckoning. Also missing are Callum Morrissey, Dan Simpson and Adam Killier. So he's gone for the bold step of not actually naming a second goalkeeper in the squad.
Absolutely. And don't forget Sean Doyle as well.
Sean Doyle's missing as well. I think maybe Dan and Sean, I'm not sure, maybe injured. And Callum, I think, has been struggling with his knee of late. So
the goalkeeping duties, as you say, they rest on Sam Halliday's shoulders.
Yeah, I did send Paul a tweet this week. He said, should I bring my gloves on Saturday in case I'm needed? And he said, we're not that hard up. So... yeah, he's obviously got some sort of plan B in mind. But yeah, apart from that, the squad's pretty much as you expect. A couple of... Kieran McNulty obviously comes back into the fold, doesn't he, after he missed the first round tie because of against Peter Ripp because he was away on holiday.
Yep, setting it up in America.
Yeah, so he is the Premier League's top scorer at the moment, Candlelight Premier League's. He's going to be a massive bonus for them. Furrow Davies is still in there. You know, he seems to be one of the division's form players at the moment.
Well, he's the only one that's come close to Pekka so far in the goal-scoring stakes this season. So I think he's 3 goals behind him.
Sam Kane returns to the fold after missing out against Peterborough. Who else? Mike Williams is still in there. And, of course, Josh Thomas, his Russian teammate. I think he went to Glasgow, so he's obviously done enough while he was out there.
Yeah, and a big shout-out to Cam Lee as well.
He obviously went to Glasgow and Boyle Kent's had a good week out with the Umbro quadrangular, so he's kept his place in the squad off the back of that.
Shaving that hair off was a revelation to his career, wasn't it?
Yeah, he knew that one tweet involving Alexi Lalas would spark such a good run of form for the men. But the squad looks good. I'm confident. I think we should go into this game in confident mood. Liverpool obviously will have some... you'd think half-decent players, but we should be favourites for this, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, you know, good to be wary of complacency in these matches, especially when you don't know much about the opposition. But, I mean, as is the way, we should just be concentrating on ourselves. And we know that this team can play good football, and you know, any team should fear playing against them.
So. And after what was apparently some encouraging performances in Glasgow and the Umbro against a lot of higher standard opposition, you'd think the boys would be going into this one in good, confident mood. Well, apart from that, it's had a bit of effect on the Premier League calendar for Saturday. There's only three games on the schedule, as it were, to Mets has been able to put on because of obviously call ups and the such like.
Yeah,
but according to you, I'm just flicking through the brilliantly priced 90p Max Independence.
It's a lovely newspaper sound effect going on in the background.
Yeah,
there.
Well, they just thought I've had a bit of sound effect. The three games on involve six of the bottom seven, as it was at the moment, so it's a bit of a scramble for points this weekend.
It certainly is, and you know, I think. We've got Laxey going away up to Ramsey, which they should be confident of getting a win here, the Miners.
Yeah.
Ramsey are struggling for form, and they are down in the relegation zone now. But you just never know, really.
Well, Ramsey have lost their last five, so it's not been a good run of any means. I think the previous to that was when they got that thumping win over. Was it Colby, you think?
Yes, it was.
But Laxey themselves arrested a poor run of form when they played Royal last week, which was their first win in about four. You'd think they'd be favourites for this. And obviously, there's a lot of players travel between these two clubs have transferred. So I think Tom Moffat was in goal for last week because I'm sure you're going to mention him in Combi Corner, aren't you? One of our previous podcast guests, Andy Ball, was playing up front for the Combi. But yeah, Tom Moffat will be up against his old club if he gets an odd over Baller. There's a few other ex-Ramsey bods in that 11, isn't there, Laxey team?
There is, and obviously a lot of the Laxey players are probably going to be involved in the Ireland under-18s team next week. But yeah. A few of those players were all on the score sheet last week for Laxey against Douglas Royal. Stan Manning led the way with a couple of goals. He's in good form.
Yeah, he scored. I think he scored a couple of goals the week before. Was it on the Combi, wasn't it? I think it was.
Yeah. So it looks a bit ominous for Ramsey, to be honest. But they will start getting some points on the board sooner rather than later, and this could just give them a bit of a boost.
Yeah, we're both tipping a Laxey win, but it will be close, we reckon. Elsewhere, we've got down at the station ground fields, Colby welcome Douglas Athletic. Douglas Athletic could make it four wins on the bounce in this one.
And as you mentioned in your preview, they are in fine scoring form as well.
Yeah, there's a bit of a stat, which turn the podcast off now if you're listening. Dickie Gale doesn't make particularly good listening if you're a Colby fan. Colby have lost their last five, conceding 30 goals and scoring only once during that run.
It's a barren run.
By contrast, the Pinks have hit the back of the net 15 times in the last three. So if you're using statistics as a guide, you're going to go for an Athletic win in this one.
Absolutely.
I believe Colby's star keeper, Matty Cregeen, is actually away on holiday at the moment. I think that's probably why they've been maybe conceding a few goals. So, again, Athletic, all roads point to an Athletic win, really.
They do, but, you know, Colby have got a home advantage in this. That could count for something. And, you know, they'll be desperate to get some more points back on the board. You know, because they start the season off reasonably well.
Yeah.
But they are only a point clear of the danger zone at the moment.
Yeah, so I think we'll be going for an Athletic win in that one.
I'd hasten to add that if Athletic win, you think they're probably safe.
That'll give them 13. We always say 12 to 14 is the magical points. But there's a gaggle of teams on 10 points there, including Lexi Brand, St Mary's and Douglas Athletic.
And two of those teams
are playing each other at Victoria Road. That was a lovely segue, that day.
Well, you did well, you set it up nicely, mate.
Brand versus St Mary's. Now, this is my plan B. We'll talk about my plan A a bit later on in the Division 2 roundup. But my plan B, if that said game doesn't go ahead in Division 2, Brad and St Mary's, this should be a cracking game, this.
It should. Brad and were a little bit unlucky against Douglas Athletic last week. They went down 2-1 in the end. And as you say, Athletic are in good form, so it was a close game. But Brad and St Mary's, both on 10 points, deadlocked. There's only a couple of goals, goal difference in between them. So this one, I wouldn't be surprised if it went either way. St Mary's, obviously, they're going to be without player-manager Alex Harrison, who's in the Ireland squad.
Of course, yeah. I hadn't actually figured that into my preview, but yes, he'll be missing. Obviously, he revived the troops last week. They got a 4-1 win over Ramsey, which was not must. Well, yeah, it was needed, wasn't it? Because they've had a poor run start to the season. But yeah, as I said in my preview, there's quite a few ex-St Mary's bods in the Brighton team. Joey Andrews, the one and only. Stewie Pacey, who's had a good start to the team. And Carl Wagstaff, who seems to be catching the eye of the Team of the Week selectors most weeks. So Yeah, they're going to be eager to get one over their former club. And I think home advantage might just meet the edge this one. Although, I suppose with any game of Victoria Road, we should be looking at the forecast. I'm looking out the window now. It's lovely blue sky, a bit of a breeze.
A bit of a breeze, could just dry the pitch off slightly.
Yeah, after the weather we've had this week, I think it's probably needed. Otherwise, it's going to be nice and boggy down there, isn't it?
It certainly is. But I think you're right. I think this could be a good game. This, I think it'll be close. And I wouldn't really like to call this one, but I'm going to tip Braddon.
Braddon win. Okay, so that would give them 13 points, and we'd say 1 foot in the Premier League for next season at least. So Division 2, there's some big games in Division 2, Dave. You've said there's a heavyweight clash.
I wanted to avoid the old Clash of the Titans headline this
week. Okay, well, we can use that for the return fixture.
Exactly. But the game in question, obviously.
Yes, this is the game, my plan A, if it goes ahead. But obviously, it's another one that's probably going to be... We'll have to see on pitch conditions and weather forecasts and all sorts of stuff, because it's Foxtel versus Youthy, promotion contenders going head-to-head at Billy Goat Park.
Well, you're going back to your old stomping ground here.
Well, this, you say stomping ground. I mean, obviously, I was a Foxtel resident as a child, but it was only my first... I only played there for the first time in the summer when we beat the Paris Saint-Germain. Peel Saint-Germain?
Peel Saint-Germain, yeah.
Not Paris Saint-Germain. That would have been quite a result, yeah. We'd be beating Paris Saint-Germain. But Peel Saint-Germain, we beat them on the head of their warm-up for the Mountain World Cup, wherever it was this summer.
Yeah, well, you say this, but every time last season that you talked about the possibility of Foxtel with a trophy parade for the mean streets past the Baltic.
Yeah.
It always brought a tear to your eyes.
It
so
did.
I know how much this means.
It does mean a lot. You know, if they could get the JCK flatbed trailer and then parade through the village, it'd mean a lot. The Baltic would be drunk dry that night, I'd say. But this is a big game for both teams, really, because Youthy's form has nosedived a little bit in the recent weeks.
Yeah,
they've been dropping points left, right, and centre, haven't they?
I think it has been a tough month for them. They came unstuck against Mills last month, and they've just lost two of the bounce now. Last week to Castletown, 3-2. Jamie Cadwallader got a couple of goals, and that made the difference. But I think it's how they bounce back. But Foxtel are in good form. I mean, they had a heavy loss to Onken themselves recently.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've bounced back, and they've done well. I think they beat Michael. And last week they got the better of...
It was Michael last week.
Was it Michael last week? Yeah. And so... Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game, this. Conditions will obviously play a part.
Yeah, it's going to be heavy, you'd think, the heavy pitch up there. It shows the fine margins of this league. We've been saying it all season, though. It is the one to watch. The teams are capable of beating each other, aren't they, all over the show, really. I'm just looking at the league table now. So we've got 6 points separating first and third, about seventh or eighth, isn't it? So it is tight.
And Youth and Foxtel are deadlocked on 22 points now. Youthy are ahead by virtue of a better goal difference.
And the fact they've played a couple of games more as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. So this one really could go either way. And it should go a long way to shaping up the promotion spots towards the end of the campaign. Neither side will want to lose this. I can see this being quite a cagey affair.
Yep.
But a good one for the neutral.
It's quite telling, isn't it, that we're looking at these games. But Pulley, you've lost two and they're top. But you can afford to lose a couple of games at the moment in the Division 2, because... But the teams are just taking points off each other left, right and centre.
They absolutely are. Now, Foxtel, they have only lost one game this season. That one game against Onken, they bounced back well. So, you could say that they're in the driving seat at the moment, but anything can happen in this league. So.
And it usually does.
It usually does. So.
Right, so that'll be where I am on if it goes ahead on Saturday. I'll be tweeting at @ManxFootyBlog for those of you who can't make it to the back of the moon, or Billy Oak Park, as also otherwise known. Elsewhere, Dave, there's some big games in further down the league as well, isn't there? Because we've got Paul Rose, they want to be keeping the pressure on at the top. They welcome Michael to...
Yeah, they'll be happy with this fixture's come up now, but they've got to be wary of complacency against the Westerners. And I think, I know Michael lost 5-1 to Foxtel last time out, but they're showing signs of improvement of late, by all accounts. They're playing a bit better football, and I think the results will start to come for them. But this is going to be mighty tough for them. No side is going to want to go up against that Pauly attack line. We say it every week.
Yeah.
Obviously bolstered by Mark Priestnell signing, and he scored again last week. So it's going to be tough for them. So
you'd have to favour a home win in this one. Tight game looks on the card. Air United versus Onken up at Andrews. Onken is still keeping their hand in the mix here, aren't they, really? Do we think promotion is beyond them this season?
No, to be honest, I don't. I mean, as you say how tight it is, they're only 3 points off second place. They've got that game in hand over Youthy. But that game, they lost 1-0 to Castle Town, which was a big spanner in the works for them. But they have bounced back pretty well. And, you know, they lost by the odd goal in free against Pulley last week. To be fair, keeping Pulley to two goals is pretty impressive in its own right. So they're playing quite well, but they will be desperate to get back to winning ways. And you would fancy for them to do that this weekend, because Ayr are fairly low down in the league at the moment.
Yeah, they're on 10 points. They've been consistent, really. I thought they would have kicked on a little bit this year. I know after last year's terrible, you know, it was a season they just had to write off, really. I thought they had the players there that would have maybe pushed them up into that top four, top six mix. I think they still are there, and I think on their day they can pull off results.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I think Onken obviously will go into this as favourites, but I think we've already said it already. They're going to have to go into this one with the right mindset, or they could slip up, wouldn't they?
Exactly, and this could, you know, if they get a win here, it could be just what they need for the rest of the season. It could prove to themselves that they can do it and they could fly up the league.
That's it, they could move into the top three with a good result in this one. What else we got on Saturday? Maroun Gyms. Now, Maroun, their bubble was burst quite spectacularly by D&D at the weekend, wasn't it?
Oh, it's a fantastic result. 2-0 for D&D. Daniel Clegg Stewart getting the brace.
He's banging him in for fun again this season. He's their go-to man on many occasions, but he scored quite a few in there already this season.
Yeah, I'm glad they pulled that result out of the bag, no way, because we always say they're capable of a result on their day. It's always nice when they actually do it.
I saw a tweet from Dave Matheson earlier in the week. He's congratulating Tommy and James, last week's podcast guests, on tipping them for the win last week. I think we both went for a Maroun victory. So, yeah, what do we know, eh, Dave?
Exactly, we don't know much. So.
But yeah, Maroun, that was a bit of a shock, to be honest, to me, because Maroun were on such a good run at that point.
Yeah, fantastic, you know, they'd beaten Youthy. They really were the form side. So that's just brought them back down to earth a little bit. Although, they're still very well placed. They've got games in hand against four of the top five teams, so they're doing okay. They'll see this as an ideal opportunity to get back to winning ways.
Maroun, of course, they are playing Gyms. I think I've said that already, but Gyms picked up their first win of the season last week, and that's probably lifted the camp in the Tramode camp no end, really.
It has, yeah. We sent our main man Hattie down there to cover this match. Yeah. We rightly tipped that it could be their first win, and they did it in fine style. 7-2, Cal Pete led the way with a hat-trick, joined on the score sheet by Ryan Spence, Ross Crawford, Tommy Calloway, and their own goal. So, yeah, 3 points, it does wonders for confidence. So, they could be a bit of a different proposition. For
yeah, this would be a lot closer than, say, if they'd met a few weeks ago. I still think we're probably going to have the edge in this one, but Gyms will give it a good go, won't they?
He will.
But the team that caused that shock result last week will be aiming to make it 2-2. They Douglas and District travel to Castletown.
Tough game for them.
Yeah, but tough game. But they won't have any fear, will they? After beating Round
after last week, yeah. And Castletown at home have been a little bit inconsistent. They obviously edged a victory over Youthy last week, so Castletown themselves will be full of confidence as well. So it could be an interesting matchup this, but I still fancy Town to win it. But D&D, you never know.
Just looking at this league table, Castan have yet to draw this season, so they're all an all or nothing team.
There you go, a draw's on the cards.
Yeah, I still think that. Yeah, I probably they will just edge this one, I would suggest. But D&D have proved me wrong time and time again. So, you know, there'll be another good one to watch if you're in the south of the island and fancy something to do on a Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely.
Get yourself down the stadium.
Well, Town are, you know, they're 3 points off the top, so they'll see this as an ideal opportunity to really boost their position, so you know, I'm good at it.
Alright, last game in Division 2 sees Governors Athletic up against Union Mills. Governors Athletic obviously lost that basement battle with Gyms last weekend. Tom Chamberlain will got his side to bounce back. This is, of course, kicks off in slightly later than the rest, half two, against the Mills side that seem to have all the right ingredients for a top four push, really.
I think so, you know, a very good side there, but they did come undone against Maloo last weekend, 4-2 at home, so you know, that was a bit of a poor result for them. Maloo, though, we know they're a good side on their day. So it's a good result for them. But Mills, they'll be desperate to bounce back with this. And again, they're still well placed. I mean, they are a few points adrift at the top four, but have games in hand and winnable games in hand. So I think they'll get the points on offer here, but it will be tough.
So they're right 7 points adrift there from the top four as it currently stands. But they have played maybe a couple of games less than the rest. Neil Akhlugargu.
Akhlugargu, his brother was in the paper
yeah,
this week.
Yeah, Big Dave was in the rugby, featuring the rugby this week in the Independent. He'll be wanting. He you get that impression he wants to win games, doesn't he? And I think that will have hurt him, that loss last week against Malou. So I would expect a reaction against Governors this week, and it could be a hard afternoon for Governors.
It could be, but again, home advantage. You never know.
You never know. Bema Hague that for that one, right. So let's we put out, you know, with the fact there's only us two in this today, as it were. It feels really big, doesn't it, when there's no one else here?
It's a bit of an intimidating room, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit intimidating, the fact we have to fill the air, to be honest. But we're going to talk. We said if anyone had any Twitter questions, we had two, which was more than I expected.
And they weren't that bad, actually. We didn't need to censor any.
No. Let me see if I can drag them up on the old phone now. So it was Dave Matheson, podcast favourite. He sent one in. Hang on, is it screenshot? Here we go. He said, "What do you want for Christmas?" I think Andy should get Dave a T-shirt that says "Absolutely" as his podcast catchphrase.
I definitely say "Absolutely," and I've already dropped it in once today on purpose, like, after that tweet. But I would say that my catchphrase tends to be "Fancy their chances."
Fancy their chances. Yeah.
Say that with every single preview.
Having said that, you say quite a lot as well.
I do.
Yeah. He also asked the other day, "What's my?" I say "right" a lot. Right. And that's about it, really.
Well, look, the T-shirt with "Absolutely." You know, it's just not worth it if it's not a dream team shirt with Dave Matheson's face printed on it somewhere. That's the only thing I want for Christmas.
You heard it here first. Exactly. If Dave's parents are listening.
Whereas Andy, for you, well, the go-to gift for you is usually Footy Manager, but you've already.
I've already bought that, but it was a beat. I've got a tremendous Rangers City bottom go at the moment. We beat Bordeaux 4-0 in the Europa League qualifiers last night, if anyone else is interested. I saw Paul Healy tweeted earlier this week. He's done you can do it for face recognition. He's done are they called avatars? I don't know. His avatar, he shared that on Twitter this week. It was quite interesting. The other tweet we had was from Agent Rashid, asking if we're looking forward to his forthcoming podcast with us next week. Not next week, Christmas.
You've been talking about nothing else, mate.
So. I am very excited about this. Agent Rashid's coming in, the man in the know in Max Football. He puts us to shame regularly on his tremendous Facebook page. But yeah, he's coming in at Christmas. I'm looking forward to that. So remember to get your questions in for that one. I think that'll be a popular podcast.
I think it will.
So a lot popular than the tripe we've produced today.
Absolutely.
Right, talking of tripe that we produce on a semi-regular occasion, I've got the Manx Footy Pod fantasy football standings here, because we've had a couple of weeks off for the international break. Of course, there was the playoffs, the World Cup. So it's all done and dusted now.
Disappointing for Northern Ireland and Republic of Ireland didn't get through.
No, it's going to be, sadly, only going to be England for the home nation, isn't it?
I said to watch England that much, isn't
it? No. It's not the same, is it, as watching Onken down in Iverson. Right, so the fantasy football, going into Saturday's resumption of the Premier League, I don't think there's any more international football now until March, is that
fantastic?
A sort of stat like that. Rory Mooney is currently leading the way with 634 points. He's got a bit of a healthy lead, actually.
He's doing well. He's done it quietly as well.
One of the people we've already mentioned today, Callum Pete, Jim's increasingly prolific striker.
Patrick Hero.
He was Columbus Crew.
Nice.
It is currently second, 6-2-1, so he's about 13 points behind Rory. Top three is completed by Kane Kenyuk. I think he's he was at Onken last season. Is still there. Ozil's Eyes is 6-0-5. Fourth, moving up, is Sour Grapes, James Cahill, who's only a point behind Kane. Super Frank Jones. Appropriately enough, he's dropping. He went off like a
rocket.
Scalded.
Like a Runnels Way Rocket.
Like a Runnels Way Rocket. He's now on 6-0-4. So he's 30 points off the top. He needs a big week, doesn't he?
Oh, dear.
So you want to know where I am, don't you, Dave?
Desperate to know, mate.
I am only 3 points behind a professional footballer in our standings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, who would this footballer be?
Liam Doyle.
Oh, legend.
He is 16th on 5-7-4, and I come in 17th, 5-7-1. I've rallied a bit in recent weeks, so I'm aiming for a solid top 16 finish.
That's a good claim to fame that you're so close to Liam.
Talking about Liam, he was, of course, in USL Cup final action on Monday night, wasn't it?
Monday night against Louisville?
Yeah, Louisville, the buggers. Am I allowed to say bugger on a podcast? Well, I've said it now. They beat us. They beat the Swoop Park Rangers 1-0. 88th minute header. Did you see it? Heartbreaking it was. Crossing. Bang. Goal.
Oh, terrible, terrible. It was gutted for Liam.
Liam was on the bench. I think that's why they conceded. If they had a man of his heading ability, the cross would have gotten nowhere near the Louisville striker.
And he probably would have scored a free kick of his own anyway.
Yes. So they won 1-0. But still a great season for Swoop Park Rangers. You're, of course, hark back to your interview with him last week. He was saying that he's played 16, 17 times with him.
Yeah, he's got a couple of goals as well, which is always good for a defender. Yeah. You know, he's fairly happy with how it's gone. He just wish he'd played a little bit more. But with it being an MLS 2 team...
Yeah, Sporting Kansas City are
there. They rely a lot on their first team, so...
Yeah, I think they had at least 6 or 7 first team loanees in that squad at the weekend. So it's always going to be a bit of a crunch time. Other news of Manxey's doing well abroad. Shay Sharkey's had his deal renewed at Sligo Rovers. Quite an amazing story that. I read the, there was a bit in the Indie about it today, but the quotes off the Sligo Rovers official website. You forget, he only joined them halfway through the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he ended up becoming a key player in the Sligo defence, playing 18 games that included 7 clean sheets as Rovers stayed in the Premier Division. I think they were in a bit of trouble till So Super Shay flew into town.
And he got
he was nominated for Player of the Year off the back of that. So,
fantastic.
So having played sort of only half the season, got to remember the Irish League is over the summer. So So we're hoping Shay will do a podcast with us in the next couple of weeks.
Be a fantastic guest to have. Real good insight into how it all works over there.
Yeah. So well done to Shay. Sligo Rovers seem to be team on the up. They've already done a bit of business already, signed a few different decent players. So I'm sure it'll be a not a season looking over their shoulder, but looking up the league neck for them next year. Dave, from professional football to the Combi Corner, I think that's an appropriate leap.
I think it is. It is. It's, you know. Well, we'll start with Russian again. The 10 out of 10, the perfect run continues.
David Ward, I don't know, has he lost a game as a manager yet?
I don't know, it's a hell of a record, isn't it?
Yeah. I think their odds for the Junior Cup are shortening by the week, aren't they?
I think so. Teams behind them are dropping points. But yes, 10 out of 10 now. They beat Colby 5-0 in a nice little Southern derby. Ryan Crawley led the way with hat-trick. He is in good form.
Yeah. He'd be knocking on Paul Jones's first team manager door, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. Another one for Dave Matheson there. Hot on their heels are Corinthians. They're 6 points behind, but they do have 2 games in hand. So they also have a perfect record. They beat St John's 8-2 last week. Adam McCulloch,
always good goal scorer for Braddon in Combi last year. He made the step up.
Got himself a hat trick.
I believe the wand was on form last week. I saw some tweets from the Corinthians official account. Tony Edgar's left foot wand. I think he got a hat trick of assists.
Well, he's a good player on his day, isn't he? So he's a good result for Corinthians there. So they're in good form, and they're the only ones that really look like challenging Russian at the moment. But I don't think there's much doubting the player of the day in Combi 1 last week. A certain man scored 7 goals for St Mary's.
Josh Molyneux.
Josh Molyneux, yes.
Yes. Remember the name.
St Mary's won 8-1 at Ramsey for 7 goals. It's a cracking achievement. So well done, Josh.
Yeah, I'm sure he will be in Alex Harrison's first team thoughts in the not-too-distant future. Yeah. I've seen him play a few times. He's a quick striker. And
he's a good player.
Almost Steve Priestnell Mark II in the making, I would say.
Well, they need him now. So, but I'm so glad you didn't argue with me about that player of the day, Andy, because I know this next person was one that I know you're a big fan of. Mm. Andy Ball.
Biscuit King.
But he backed himself a rare goal for Laxey at the weekend.
Yeah, he's playing up top for the Combi, which is bizarre.
Why not? If you can do it, why not? But yeah, he scored against Douglas Royal, so well done, Andy. I'm sure we'll hear more about it in the future, but they won 5-2, so they're going okay at the moment, Laxey and the Combi.
Combi Corner is getting a bit like Border Birthdays, isn't it?
It is. Oh, what a great show. What a great thing that was.
People will be sending in the homemade scorecards or something shortly, when they'll be like, just give this person a mention. Well done, Andy.
Well done.
Well done, Andy, from everyone in the Border region, from Carlisle to Colby. Congratulations. Right, next.
Right, anyway, going off to Combi 2.
Why are you laughing about Combi 2, Dave? It's a serious business.
No, it is. Youthy's game at Castletown was postponed. Now, obviously, they're flying in Combi 2, but what it has done is given Onken the chance to catch up a little bit. Onken are now only 3 points behind, although they have played a game more. But they edged past Pulley by the odd goal in 9-5-4.
Good result
for Onk and that. So yeah, they're on 24 points from 10 games played, but Youth is still leading the way, 27 points from 9 games.
And I see there was the goals were falling out of combination football again this weekend, weren't they?
When do they ever stop?
No. It is the entertainers' leagues, aren't they?
They absolutely are. I mean, Malou were the biggest winners of the day. They beat, in the division, sorry, they beat Mills 6-1,
right,
which is a really good result, and thanks largely to Tim Collister's hat-trick. So I'm assuming that Johnny Hogg wasn't reffing that game.
Yeah, Tim finally gets his name on the score sheet. He scores a lot for the Gombe, though, to be fair to him. You think you might get a whack at the first team at some point. He seems like a decent little striker.
He is a good player. He's just unfortunate that ahead of him in the pecking order, you've got a good side, obviously, at Malou. So,
talking of Malou, and we should have mentioned this a bit earlier, Andy Glover has confirmed to me he has retired now.
Until next year.
No, in all seriousness, he says, again, medical advice has said, maybe don't knock it on the head this time, Andy. And I think for once he is listening.
Yeah, it's a good decision, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be tough for him. He says himself it's going to be tough for him. But yeah, Andy, you know, we wish you well, and probably is for the best if you do give the football a knock on the head.
Yeah, all the best for that, Andy. But you know, I'm sure he'll stay involved, coaching wise or whatever it is. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he will be absolutely still turning up in matches. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go on, what's your last combi too? Stat of the fact of the day.
So I call it stat of the fact. But special mention to Governors. They picked up their first win of the season in combi. They beat James 4-2 thanks to a brace from Kyle Jackson plus a Jordan Birchall strike and an own goal. So well done, Governors.
That's fantastic. So they've are they still? Hang on, maybe have a look at the league table. They're within a point of Michael now, but have a game in hand.
So. Exactly. So it could all change at the bottom of the table there. So, and with that, they've also gone to within 3 points of James, who they beat. So Governors, surprising considering they've got Ben Mahaig, but they've only played 7 games this season.
Right.
So. Yeah,
there's playing catch up.
They'll play catch up, yeah.
Combination 2, fantastic as always, Dave. And to go from Combination 2, I think it's only fair we go to the realms of international football.
Oh, yes. Big shout-out here.
Yeah, when was the game?
It would have been on Thursday evening last week.
So after we recorded last week's podcast, Kieran Tierney, obviously. The Manxie that plays for Celtic, you know, he was here for 10 months. I'm going to keep saying that until I'm blue in the face.
Manxie's
the Hills. Says so on his Twitter, so he must be right.
Yeah.
He captained Scotland last week, didn't he?
Meteoric rise just continues, doesn't it?
He's only 20, so he's his second youngest captain ever.
In more than a century. The last was Darren Fletcher, obviously of Man United fame, but he was only a month older than Darren Fletcher. So, yeah, it's a fantastic achievement. Scotland lost 1-0, but he played in centre-back, so he's in 9 caps for Scotland. He's played 3 different positions, and he's performed brilliantly in each one.
Yeah.
He was arguably their best player on the night.
He drew a smile out of Chris Sutton, which is no mean feat.
No mean feat. He didn't say anything controversial about him, did he?
No. But he will. But yes, it's unbelievable. It is Roy the Rover stuff, really, isn't it?
It is. And domestically for Celtic, obviously we had the news yesterday that he picked up the Player of the Month.
Yeah, not the kind of life Player of the Month, but not quite.
Not quite as good,
the Scottish Premier League Player of the Month went to Kieran. He's also just shy of 100 first team appearances for Celtic, isn't it? Which is unbelievable, really.
His age. That's something amazing, that. So,
and that comes not long after extending his contract at Celtic.
Exactly.
The cynic in me thinks that Celtic did that so to make sure you get a good fee for him.
I wonder if there's a release clause on there. But
he seems happy enough, to be fair.
He loves the club. He's a boyhood Celtic fan. So.
The boy is just unbelievable. You're running out of superlatives, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
And Celtic, 60 something games unbeaten now?
Well, it was 63. I don't think they played since then, but 63 is obviously a teeny shirt number, quite apt, really. But phenomenal achievement for them as well. I think they set a new British record with that.
Fantastic. Right, well, that's a lovely way to end today's condensed footy pod after last week's 1 hour 44 special. That's a shed loads of hits, and I think it might just be Tommy listening to his voice again.
It probably is. That's I think Dean Turton said as much.
Yeah, but Tommy did offer last week. He was actually, I think, was he in the middle of the game or just before the second half when I was down there. He shouted over on regularly to boost the listening figures.
I don't want to boost his ego anymore, but
I thought it would be great because it'd be called Miller Time. I've already thought of the feature name. that's actually probably better than the feature it actually would be.
Can we get sponsorship from Miller Beer? Miller Lite?
Is that still a thing?
I think so. In America, you can, so.
Oh, we'll have, maybe I'll have to have a look for that the weekend. But yes,
we're not encouraging drinking, by the way.
Yeah, so if you're fed up with listening to us too, there's the back catalogue still remains at audioboom.com/channel/MarrickFootball. Also, we passed 15,000 listen mark last week, which is just unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So thank you. You know, in all seriousness, thank you very much for your support. I mean, it's, we never expected this when we started out.
No, 15,000 is unbelievable. So what else do we have today? So football will be tweeting. You'll be tweeting from
the ball tomorrow night, 6 o'clock kickoff. He's hoping for another good result for the men.
So that's at Manx Footy Blog. I'll be at Foxdale versus Youthy or Braddon versus St Mary's, depending on which goes ahead.
Or down the pub.
There'll be tweets from two of them three at Manx Footy Blog as well. Until next week. Oh no, we haven't told about next week.
Oh yes, this is the big reveal.
Right, next week. Go on, Dave. Tell them what we're doing next week.
No, you're so excited. I can't deprive you of this, mate. Go on.
Right, Manx Footy Blog will be having its first ever outside broadcast next week. We're doing the podcast live. Well, not live. Well, we will be live doing it, but we'll record it and then put it up. So it's not live, but it's sort of live from Ramsey.
We've got our passports ready.
Yeah, from Ramsey as we get a couple of the youthy lads in. They're going to talk to us about their season, what their expectations are for the rest of the year. Oh, it's going to be amazing, isn't it?
It's going to be fantastic. I just can't wait.
It's going to be recorded at a secret location, and we might reveal next week, depending on how excited we get.
I don't think I'm going to sleep in the next week at all. I'm so excited.
So that's happening next Friday, 12 o'clock. Was it 12 next Friday?
Yes.
Tune in next Friday afternoon for our first ever outside broadcast. Until then.
Ta-ta for now.